I'm gonna pick off, start from where I left off 2 weeks ago, and also just what Johan Steyn shared this morning and what Amu has shared in the last weeks as well. I think God is going through a refining period, as Monica said in intercession before church, and so today I'm gonna be sharing my thoughts on the topic of wisdom, following on from the conversation we had 2 weeks ago about the fear of God, and where does fear of God and wisdom relate? Very simply, Proverbs tells us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, great. So God has been talking to me about this, and whenever a pastor says, God's been talking to me about this, what they're saying is, God's been giving me a hiding over this subject. So, but before we go anywhere, do you remember these scriptures? Okay, so you have 2 more weeks. How many weeks are left in this one? Three more weeks to memorize these scriptures. There are 250 Rand Musica vouchers up for grabs if you can memorize these scriptures. One of them has been claimed already. So you've only got 2 more. Otherwise, no music for you. Eh? And apparently House Fires just came out with a new album. So it's a good time to get a music voucher. Lekker. Okay, but let's move on. I'm going to read for you, I'm going to do the reading. I'm going to read for you, because I'm such a nice guy, a story about the King of Solomon. Who knows who Solomon was? Okay, Solomon. Solomon was the son of David, and funny enough, was king after David, even though Solomon came from an adulterous relationship. I don't know if you know the story of David and Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba. Was it Bathsheba? Yes, and David saw Bathsheba taking a bath and said, I want that woman now, even though she's married to another man, had the husband killed, slept with the wife, got her pregnant. That's a bit of a rough story, eh? Great. So that's King David. And then God describes him as a man after my own heart. But that's God's repentance and forgiveness. But anyway, so after David did right and married her, Solomon was born to them and he became the king. So he takes over from the kingdom of David, and God asks him a very simple question. Ask me one thing, David, okay? Ask me one thing, whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. Look at Solomon's response. So I'm going to read from 1 Solomon 7, verse 7. Oh, sorry, 2 Chronicles verses. Yes, I'm just not on my game today, eh? You're going to have to bear with me today. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 7 to 13. Okay, let me find verse 7. Okay, that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over people who are numerous as dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead the people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours. God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you, and I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor such as no king who was before you or ever had, and none after you will ever have. Then Solomon went to Jerusalem. Okay, that verse is not important. Verse 12, 7 to 12. So here, Solomon's in this great position, okay? He's got this one thing he can ask for, anything that he wants, money, wealth, status, honor, chicks, long life, anybody ever did him wrong, he could have them killed just like that. And what does he ask? He says, God, I want your wisdom because I've got this huge task ahead of me. I've got to govern your people. And you know what? I don't really know how to do it. And I need the wisdom and knowledge to do it. If you can give me that, I'm hundreds. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Has anybody ever asked you that question? You know, I remember this question, especially going around when Aladdin just came out, and people were like, well, you know, if I found a genie, you know, what would my wishes be? You know, and but now Solomon's got this chance. It's like, you can have anything, and he asks for wisdom and knowledge. You know, come on, Solomon, you had one job, wisdom. You know, and in today's society, it's especially a relevant conversation, because people are saying truth is relative. You know, what's true for you is not really true for me. If you want to believe that, that's cool. You know, I won't hold it against you. You want to believe Jesus is real, cool. You know, that's your decision. But for me, that's not true. You know, you want to choose to go that way, that's fine. But for me, I'm going to go this way. And so, even more today, we're stuck with the question of what is true, what is right, what is wrong. You know, it seems to be under interpretation. Is there an ultimate truth? Can we truly know God? Can we truly know something? You know, those are the questions that I grew up with. When I was in school, I went through a hectic depression phase because I read Ecclesiastes. Don't read that if you're not so spiritually strong, leave that. And the guy says in Ecclesiastes, what's the point of anything? Nothing has a point. So what? You know? Nothing. You know? Money, wealth, knowledge, it's got no point. And then, you know, got some emo 16-year-old reading Ecclesiastes. And then I'm like, oh gosh. You know, if this guy doesn't know what it is, how am I supposed to know? And so I'm left even more with the question, can I know anything? Is there any ultimate truth? You know, and I think of myself as being a clever guy, and it's gotten me into a lot of trouble. You know, I walk into a room, and I'm like, yes, I'm going to dazzle these people with my knowledge. You know, they're going to think I'm so clever, you know. And I've gotten caught out many a time, and it's difficult for it not to go to my head. God's had to humble me many times with my intellectual pride. And anyway, that's a story for another day. But we've got to ask, why is wisdom so important? Okay, what makes it such a great thing? Solomon could have had anything, and he asked for wisdom and knowledge. Anyway, but he makes his case. Let's go to Proverbs. For those of you who don't know, Solomon wrote most of Proverbs. People are like, what? No, I'm joking. Solomon wrote most of Proverbs, and in Proverbs 1, he makes a case for wisdom. Okay? It's a pretty good case. So you can read with me Proverbs 1 from verse 20. So he says, wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateway of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, in turn I will laugh at your disaster. I will mock your calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the way of wardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. After reading that, you're kind of like, okay, wisdom. Yeah, great. Let's get that. Calamity, not so great. You know, give me some wisdom. Anyway, so Solomon is saying is that, you know, he's, and I can kind of seeing him do the sums in his head when God asks when God asks him, what do you want? And he's like, you know, I can kind of picture him having this conversation with himself, and he's like, I've got to do so much, okay? And the people that have come before me have really messed this up. And I've seen their destruction. I've seen the destruction with my father David. You know, and if I don't wise up, I'm in a lot of trouble here. I'm in some serious trouble, you know. And I can get all the money that I want. I can have all my enemies destroyed. But if I don't wise up here, I'm in a lot of trouble because I don't actually know what I'm doing. I can just imagine Solomon having this conversation with himself, just coming to the conclusion, you know what, I don't actually know what I'm doing. How many of you have come to that conclusion? You're either at varsity, school, you're starting a new job, and you come to this point, and you're just like, you know what? What on earth am I doing? I don't know about you, but I feel like that on a daily basis, you know? Dear Lord, give me strength. Give me wisdom, you know? We pray for wisdom. Oh, please, you know, pray for me for wisdom. And most of the time, guys ask me to pray for that when they have to talk to their girlfriends about something. Dear Lord, give me wisdom. They don't want calamity there, eh? No, I'm just joking. Okay, so Solomon here, he's making this case for wisdom. He's like, you know, I'm in some serious trouble if I don't get there. But there's a specific verse here. It says, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Right? And then we look at Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Remember we spoke about that 2 weeks ago, for those of you, most of you were here 2 weeks ago. We spoke about the fear of God. Okay? We spoke about the fact that we as charismaniacs don't like to talk about the fear of God because we're all happy, clappy, and you know, we don't want you to come and prick our bubble, you know. And I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person I don't have, you know, self-esteem issues. Okay? I don't feel the necessity to prove myself to God in a good way. But then again it gets me into trouble as well. Because it's very easy for me to bend the rules a bit. Do you know what I'm saying? You know? It's very easy for me to kind of, you know, I know the Bible's saying this, but you know, I'm not under the religious spirit, so, you know, nah. You know, you take a fast for 3 days, in the middle of the fast, you're like, I'm not under a religious spirit, you know? It's fine if I eat something now, you know? And it's not like your salvation is on the line, you know, if you break your fast halfway through or something like that. God's not like that, but at the same time, there's a familiarity with God that's there. You know, we don't honor and we don't revere God for who he is. He's the guy that can zap you out of existence with a thought, okay? That's the guy that you're dealing with, and that's the guy that you're taking for granted. And then the word comes and says, while we think we're very clever and we know everything, and don't you tell me what to do, okay? You traditional churches, you in here people, because us charismaniacs, we have the real revelation of God. So don't tell me, you know. But then the word goes and says, you know, as much as you think you're so clever, you know, it's the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. And if you don't understand the fear of God, don't think you're clever. You're not clever. If you don't understand the fear of God, you won't leave your cell phone on silent. No. Great. So here Solomon comes, and you know, I can see him. So we're playing out this conversation he's having in his head, you know. Okay, I'm in trouble. And not only am I in trouble with, you know, this whole thing's going to go to pot, but I'll be in trouble with God. And I can see him doing, once again, I can see him doing the sums in his head. I can please a lot of people. I can make my friends all happy. Maybe if I ask for enough money, I can make all my friends happy. And then, you know what, I'll be okay. But I can see him having this other conversation in his head. You know what, I've got to deal with God. I've got to answer to God at the end of the day. He's made me a steward over his kingdom. Okay? And each one of you have been given a purpose, have been given a calling, have been given gifts to to accomplish said calling. You have been made stewards of your calling, and each one of you are going to have to give account for what you have done, or more importantly, for what you have not done. Okay? And if that does not make you start thinking, don't think you are clever. Okay? Don't think you know anything. Because what does it say here? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm getting to? So now when we start thinking of it in light, all of a sudden Solomon's decision for wisdom doesn't sound so, you know, irrational. Actually kind of like, you know, if anything, that was the clever move, you know? So here we've got Solomon saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, but now we've got to get back to that question. What does wisdom look like? What does truth look like? Okay, can you know truth? Is there such a thing as ultimate truth? It's a very good question. Okay, it's when I talk to people who aren't Christian and you know, evangelizing people, that's one of the main questions that I get, especially from atheists. Okay, you say this is true. How can you say that is true? How do you as a person know what you're thinking is true? Can you know wisdom? Can you know a spirit of truth? Can you know a spirit of wisdom? And it gets very depressing if you don't know God, to be quite honest. But let's ask a very simple question. What does wisdom look like? Okay? So we want wisdom. How do we recognize it? So let's go to James 3. If you're looking for James 3, it's right after James 2. Jokes. Sorry. Can't help myself. Okay. It's somewhere around here. Should have made a bookmark like I normally do, but I didn't. Okay, it's coming. Yeah, man. I've lost James too. What's here, James? James. I can't find James. Yeah, okay. Who's got James 2 for me? James 3. Thank you. Yes. Marry that woman fast. Okay. 3 verse 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Okay, so you think you're clever? Great. Okay? Let him show it in the good deeds done in the humility of his life. Okay? But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Okay, that's quite clear. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Okay, but now we want to know, what does wisdom from God look like? Verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise up a harvest of righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. So now we've got, let's go back to Solomon. Remember, Solomon's having this conversation. God's just asked him this question. Okay, whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. Solomon's doing the sums in his head. There's a very important thing. Why does he ask, what is the reason that he gives God when he asks for wisdom? Okay? He asks for wisdom so that he may govern the people that God has put in his care. Okay? That's a very important part. Because you recognize wisdom by the motive that people ask or give advice. Okay? I go have a coffee with somebody, and I want them to think that I'm very clever, you know. So, you know, they go, wow, Luke, you're such an impressive person, you know. Yes, and I feed off it, you know. Is that wisdom from God? No, that's not wisdom from God. That's a wisdom born of selfish ambition. I want you to think that I'm clever. So I'm going to say a whole lot of rubbish, and hopefully you're just going to think I'm a really smart person. But Solomon, in his wisdom, in the lack of self-ambition, for the sake of the people, laying down his life, for the sake of laying down his life, he asks for wisdom. It's quite funny because I think that I often think that to ask for that requires a lot of wisdom in the first place. You know, that's a topic for another sermon as well. Just an interesting side note. But it's a very obvious kind of distinction, but I just want you to see it. I really want you to take note of it, okay? So you want to know what is truth? How do you recognize truth? How do you recognize wisdom? You recognize it by the fruit of that person's life. Okay? Is the fruit of that person's life selfish? Is it envious? Is it full of self-ambition? Or when they speak, do you see the humility in their life? Do you see the self-serving, or the self-sacrificial manner in which they speak to you? That is how you recognize wisdom from heaven. Okay? And that is what you want. Okay? Whether you know it or not, that's what you want. Okay? So now, okay. Fantastic, Luke. That sounds great. Okay? Wisdom is an awesome thing. I know what it looks like. How do we get it? Okay? That should be your next question. And that's a tough one. Okay? So we're going to go to a really cool scripture in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6 to 16. And 1 Corinthians 2 is right after 1 Corinthians 1. Thank you. Yes, if I don't find it this time, then you know what? You can just fire me. Okay. No pressure. I got it. Yes. Whew. I really felt the pressure there. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 2. This is a bit of a long one, but I just want you to pay attention to what's going on because there's a lot of detail in here, but it's a beautiful scripture. And what I want you to do is also just take a note of it. And in your quiet time tomorrow, just go read through the scripture, just in your own personal quiet time, okay? So let's go. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 to 16, okay? We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Okay, so wisdom, I just want, before we go anywhere, wisdom is a subject for mature people, okay? It's not something that we mess around with. This isn't the milk, this is the bread. This is the solid stuff, okay? Okay. But not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Isn't that beautiful? None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Okay, something I want you to take note of, that it's a secret wisdom. It has been hidden. Okay, before time began, this wisdom has been hidden. Okay. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Okay. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Isn't that amazing? Okay. We think about God, the creator of the universe, all powerful. His hand stretches across the universe. And to know the Spirit is to know God. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. Okay. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world. Okay, here's the key point. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to man's judgment, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay, that's a mouthful, and I'm not going to go through all of it. Like I said, I want you to write that scripture down in your personal quiet time tomorrow. Go read through it. But let's just recap. Okay, we want wisdom. How do we get it? We get it through the Spirit, okay? Because the Spirit knows God. That wisdom that he set aside from the beginning of time for us, he's hidden. He is made known through the Spirit, okay? But here's the good news, okay? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay, your spirit was renewed, and you received the Spirit of God, okay? It is Christ who dwells within you, the Spirit of God who dwells within you. And if you spend time, okay, with the Spirit of God in your personal quiet time, you get to know God, and you get to know that wisdom, that spiritual truth. It says there are spiritual truths, okay? So here's the thing, okay? You think you're clever, but you're not clever until you understand it's the relationship with God that's gonna get you through the end of the day. And there's something that God's been talking to me about. I believe that something God is taking us all through as a church as well, is that it comes down to a very simple thing. Are you prepared to do what it takes to get to know God? Okay. Are you prepared to put in the time to go and seek God out, to go seek out his Spirit? Stephen and I were having a conversation this last week and saying, you know, I'll put out time for friends, I'll put out time for family, but I don't really put out time for God, you know. And how true, I'm guilty of that. But then I still want people to think how clever I am, you know. That's not clever. When you don't want to spend time with the God of the universe, that's not a clever move. That's not smart. Okay? And that's fine. If you come to the understanding that you're not prepared to put in that time, that's fine. But don't go and walk around thinking that you're the bee's knees. Because what does God say? Okay? It's the fear of God. Okay? That is the beginning of wisdom. And to get that wisdom takes time. And it's time spent in God's presence, getting to know his Spirit, the Spirit that has searched the depths of God. Okay? And, I know some of you might be sitting there thinking, okay, Luke, is this just another quiet time sermon? Okay, I get it. Let's just do more quiet time. Fantastic. No, you're missing the point. Okay. My heart for you is not that you have more quiet time and check it off the list. Okay. My heart for you is that you come to know God in his fullness, to have a relationship with God in his fullness. Because what is the end goal? The end goal is to have the mind of Christ, not to have a quiet time. Quiet time is a means to an end. What is the end? To have the mind of Christ. Are you with me? Okay? I don't want people that are good at setting alarm clocks. Okay? I want people that know God. I want to know God. And I'm sure if I asked who wants to know God, all of you are going to stick up your hands. But you know what is going to determine what you want? We go back to James 3. Okay? You can tell a wise person by his actions, by the fruit of his actions. All of you are going to say you want to know God. And that's great. It's a good start. But all of you are going to have to come to this conclusion that if you're not willing to put in the time and the effort, you don't really want to know God. That's the tough. That's the conclusion you've got to come to, and that's the conversation that you've got to have with yourself. And I believe that Solomon had the same conversation with himself. This very conversation that I'm asking you to have with yourself. And he came to this conclusion: I'm in a lot of trouble. God, I really need you. I'm in a lot of trouble here. Because I want to do a good job, but I don't actually know if I'm capable of doing it. I want to please you, but I don't actually know if I'm capable of doing it. We want to do our quiet times. We want to know God. Sometimes, and I've had to have this conversation with myself, I don't actually know if I'm capable of doing it. And I find myself on this precipice. I'm like, if I go just a little bit this way, I'm in a lot of trouble. And I don't know if I'm going to get back. You know what, God? I really need your help. I really need you to pitch up here. And I think Solomon was in the same situation. Because I think God is asking every single person. I think God has always asked every single person, ask me for anything, and I'll give it to you. He says it. He says, if you ask me for bread, I will not give you a stone. You know? Ask me for anything, I'll give it to you. So the question is, what do you want? That's what I want to leave. What do you want? Do you want a better relationship with God? Great. We're going to start here. Let's stand up. I'm going to read from Romans quickly. Romans 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Isn't that amazing? Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. What is the pattern of this world? We want to change. We cry out for change. We want to do better. We want to be better. But we find ourselves doing the same things over and over again. A few chapters before this, Paul says, you know, in Romans 7, he says, you know, God, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, that's the things I end up doing. Those are the patterns of the world. Paul's saying, yeah, don't be conformed to those patterns. Okay? Addiction is not necessarily to drugs. Addiction is to a habit, to a lifestyle. And either you've got to have a serious conversation, and either you're okay with that lifestyle, you know you don't want it, but your actions to get out of it is going to determine what you're really okay with. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What are you renewing your mind towards? Towards the mind of Christ. Okay, that is the goal. So it's a very simple question. What do you want? We're gonna pray for, and we're gonna ask some of my leaders to come up front. We're gonna pray for the renewing of your minds. Okay, because there's some people here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's these habits, there's these patterns, and you're not happy with them. And I'm asking you, what do you want? It's very simple. What do you want, and what are you willing to do to get it? Okay, so I'm going to ask you, if what I'm saying to you makes sense, okay, and you're frustrated with yourself, I'm asking you to come forward. It's a very simple step. And we're going to pray for the renewing of your mind, to break these habits, so that we're not conformed to the patterns of this world anymore. So if that's you, I just want you to come forward. Just come here on my left here. And then the second group of people that I'm going to pray for. God, I want your wisdom. And God, without it, I'm in trouble. God, I'm asking you for your wisdom today because I've got a job to do and I want to do it well. You've given me a responsibility. You've given me a task. You've given me gifts. And God, I'm asking you for the wisdom to accomplish that. Because it's not about me. It's the people that you've put in my path. It's the people that you've put under my care. God, I want to be able to serve them.